Welcome to Good Stuff, the Oreo podcast. My name is Rob. This is a podcast about finance now. We're going to talk about finances and you. What is your finances? How much money do you make? Do you make a lot of money? Do you make a little money? What is your money? Tell me where your money is stored. How can I get your money? I need your money. Send your bank account information to goodstuffpodcast@gmail.com. Please include the routing number and account number. This is the podcast. We need your money. We are both princes from a foreign country. We are here to wire you money. This is what we're here to do. We're ready. We're willing. We're waiting. We have $10,000 just waiting for you. You just have to mail us your routing number and your bank account information. And you just have to make sure that whenever your bank account says, hey, this is a fraudulent charge, you tell them, no, it's not a fraudulent charge. It's from a podcast. Good Stuff Podcast with Rob and Nick, the Oreo and Finance Podcast. Hello, everybody. That was just some, I guess that was just some stream of consciousness right there.
I can't wait to go to prison with you, honestly.
Oh, I mean, if somebody sends us their bank account information, I will politely say, please thank don't you. Ever take us seriously, but thank you for taking us a little bit seriously. If someone sends us their bank account information, we're starting a Patreon.
We just have one big patron. Account.
Yeah, we have one really generous patron. Hi, everybody. My name is Rob.
My name is Nick.
And we have a great show for you today. Nick, what Oreo is being reviewed today?
Well, we've tried them before, and this is like version two of maybe a new classic. It is Team America USA Olympic Oreos.
Olympic Oreos. Is it Olympic Oreos? I thought it was like 4th of July Oreos.
Well, the last time they did fireworks related Oreos, and ooh, spoiler alert, these ones have a little twist to them. They've got some Pop Rocks in them this time. It's got the American flag on it. It says the proud sponsor of the Olympics on the front of the box. So, and on the cookies, it even says like Team USA.
Are red, white, and blue layers of cream with a little hidden sneaker it. That isn't, I feel like, announced on the box, right? Well,
no. So it says right on the front, red, white, and blue layers of cream with popping candy, because Pop Rocks is a trademark thing.
It does. And with popping candy, which is just like candy and sodium bicarb, I think, right? Like it's just sugar that has like leaven, like the same stuff that people put in, they put inside of, what's it called? Freaking cakes. They're just cakes. Like, it's just baking soda.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. But, like, it's just dried in there, and then it's, when it touches your saliva, it starts popping. I met the guy who invented it. And by met, I mean I saw him. And someone said, that guy invented Pop Rocks. And I went, cool. That was it.
How old are Pop Rocks? I just assume that they're sort of like this weird ageless thing.
I don't know, but he was old as fuck, so.
Okay.
You know what? Let's find out. Let's find out how old Pop Rocks are. The planet's number one selling candy.
Is it?
I don't think so.
I won't believe every single word that comes out of your mouth today, apparently.
No, but it's just funny. When you look up Pop Rocks, they're like, Google subtext. I don't know what would, you know, like underneath their like link.
The Google subtext.
You know how like when you Google a web page and it will have like a little like this is the thing that this website's about. There's a spelling error in it.
That's nice.
The planet / S's number one selling popping candy. Oh, number one selling popping candy. That's fuck off, Pop Rocks. Like, that's not. I guess they came out in the 60s.
Okay.
Two chemists, William Mitchell. No, you know what? I lied. I don't I didn't meet the Pop Rocks guy. I met the fruit stripe guy that put the stripe and fruit stripe
the gum.
Yeah. That like was the, gum the guy. That,
like the gum that's really good for about like 30 seconds and then it has no taste.
He put the stripe in the gum. He lives in Massachusetts, I guess.
Really?
I guess.
Again, look, I'm going to believe everything you say today, apparently, and I've already sent you my bank and routing number.
Well, thank you. But I also might be, I might be different. I might be wrong about how Pop Rocks work too, also. So, you know, I think I'm just full of shit today in like several ways.
And I'm just ready to just believe every single word of it.
Honestly,
that makes us a good team.
Yeah, because it's I thought it was sodium bicarb. No, it's pressurized carbon dioxide. I guess sodium bicarb makes like the honeycomb candy. Have you ever seen that?
I'm going to say yes. I don't think I've had it.
It's the thing that what's it called? I don't know. I'm just going to cut this out because I'm lost my train of thought. But yeah, so here's where I thought Pop Rocks were the one thing because of an urban legend.
Oh yeah.
So obviously Pop Rocks and Coke.
Yeah.
I'm reading the Wikipedia article. Rumors persisted that eating Pop Rocks and drinking soda would cause a person's stomach to boil and explode. This was in part caused by the false assumption that Pop Rocks contained the acid-based mixture baking soda and vinegar, which produces large gas when mixed together. That's what I thought it was. I thought it was some sort of bicarb situation.
Okay.
One of the myths involved was child actor John Gilchrist, Little Mikey, in the 1970s Life cereal commercial,
who
falsely was rumored to have died consuming excess amounts of Pop Rocks and Coke.
What a way to go.
Well, he didn't die.
Oh, is he still alive?
This was a I said urban legend. I prefaced this with urban legend.
No, I know you did, but maybe I didn't know if he's like still alive or died from another whatever. Maybe I don't want to know.
Well, let's find out. Let's see what John Gilchrist's he's still alive. He's still alive.
Oh, nice.
So
congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations on your life.
And his life cereal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's by 2012 he was only 44. So
okay.
He's still hanging around and he didn't die. So he's chilling. He's doing his thing. He didn't die of exploding stomach disease. But I guess manufacturer is solidified. It must be like it's got to be like liquid nitrogen but for carbon dioxide. Right?
Okay. Sure.
Water and sugar is mixed and then cooled to blah 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 while being intensely stirred with it. Yeah, stirred. It is pressurized with carbon dioxide. So they fucking carbonate it. That's wild. That is fucking wild. Well, we learned some things about carbon dioxide today and some things about Pop Rocks and some candy.
It's killing our planet, but at the same time, makes neat candy.
Do you think, what if Pop Rocks was a major carbon emitter?
That would act. I don't know. I feel like
carbon capture involved putting it in Pop Rocks, and we just had an excess of Pop Rocks, like just chilling.
And then, like all the Oreos had Pop Rocks because Oreo was doing its part to save the planet.
But then we're all really gassy forever because we're eating them.
It could be worse.
It could be worse. Although, yeah, I don't know.
I would eat Pop Rocks to save the planet.
I would eat Pop Rocks to save the planet. Did you see that, like, the ocean was on fire briefly?
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
I obviously not a good thing, but I saw a very cool picture about it, which showed the top half was the ocean on fire, and then below it was a picture of SpongeBob and friends having a campfire. And that was the reason.
I mean, it felt like some end of video game demon portal being opened situation, or like... the world's about, it just felt very apocalyptic.
Yeah, I mean, look, I saw the pictures and I was like, oh, what movie is this?
Yeah, exactly. It was pretty brutal. So, and now Germany is flooding like crazy. Things are nuts. But you know what isn't nuts? Pop Rocks. They're candy.
Yeah, no nuts or any other allergens in there that I can think
if
of.
If this podcast is discovered by aliens who are uncovering our technology and they find exactly our podcast, that would be insane. And I would say, hello, aliens. The offering worked 2 episodes ago.
Could you imagine if this is the only media that survived as a record of the human race?
No, I cannot imagine. I feel like this would be a terrible record of the human race. I don't think I live a normal human race life.
Could you? Yeah, because like, imagine seeing the world just through our lens. Now, granted, I'm biased and I like our lens or respective lenses, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just imagine you come to a planet and like, wow, there are wars fought probably over the fact that hot dogs are sandwiches.
Yeah, they're like, oh, wow, they... what a time capsule this must be.
People get so fired up about pressing pigs question marks into tubes and then arguing about what they call it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Arguing about food is fun.
It is the most fun in the world. Sorry, I just lost my thing. So, Nick, you told me you had a thing you wanted to talk about.
I do. I've got some Oreo-related news that's very exciting that just happened today, as of today's recording.
Tell me.
So, Oreo was doing this little sweepstakes on their Instagram about how do you hide your Oreo thins? And it's like, all you had to do was comment in their post about, like, interesting places to hide your Oreos, basically. And I decided, I'm like, what the heck? I commented. My idea was hollow out an old textbook and hide the box in it.
Did you do that?
I didn't do it, but that's what I wrote. And I was prepared to actually do it if they needed a picture, but you know, whatever, I didn't. And I got a response back for them today saying, essentially, congratulations, you won. Here's a link to officially, like, fill out this form and stuff.
Whoa! We're Oreo famous again!
So there was a prize for $25,000, which I actually didn't know when I was doing this thing.
Oh, shit.
Spoiler alert, I did not win the $25,000.
Boom.
I won a limited edition camouflage, basically, box of Oreo thins that may be coming in the mail in the next couple months, for all I know.
Camouflaged Oreos? Is it just the packaging?
So the packaging, I think, is going to look like a common item that you can put it up against, so it looks like it's not actually a box of cookies.
That's really funny. I like that.
And they were kind enough to let me know that the price of my winnings was like $3.25.
Very They're nice.
Like, it's like estimated value about $3, and I'm like,
but that's a collector's item. My Oreo. No, book.
I'm like, it's not $25,000, but at the same time, I'll take it.
Yeah, that's how many likes did you get, or just they like sent it to you?
They just sent it to me. I don't even think I got any likes.
Oh.
You know, classic me on social media, though. But you know,
yeah, I recently had like not a viral tweet because it didn't go viral, but I got like a tweet that got way more attention than I expected, and like was sure. Basically there was someone posted the fact that like the Daily Wire posted some dumb shit that was like, meet the conservative country singer who's turned down woke record labels and is still topping the charts. And like, it's Parker Malloy, a great, great follow on Twitter. And she said that, what charts? This guy's not on any fucking charts. He's not doing well. Also, his songs look insane. And here's some of them that are clearly just meant to trigger the libs. If this country still had balls, just saying, which is such a fucking boomer shit thing to say.
Sure.
Red Like Reagan, the beer truck, whatever. I Am 9/11, Patriot. But the one I commented on.
Sounds like a threat.
Right? I Am 9/11. The one I commented on was called Don't Run from the Cops, which I said, my tweet that got 95 likes like was, "Don't Run from the Cops" is 120% the lamest song title I've ever seen. Should have just been named "Hug the Police." And like, it's just unbelievable how insane these lyrics are. They're like, sorry, the image is too small for me to look at, but that's okay. It's just, I don't know. I'm in a mood today. I think things are just, there are dumb people in the world and they shouldn't, they're just so, they're, I'm just angry at a lot of things.
Yeah, you said dumb people, and all of a sudden I thought of like three different things that I read about today. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to bring that energy here today.
It's the America episode. Welcome. Let's talk about Florida Man.
Well, the one that was bothering me this time is homeopathy.
Oh my God, I hate homeopathy.
And
I always think of the Futurama joke where they're like, every doctor, it's like a robot that's like calling for every doctor, being like, we need every doctor, please report to this thing. Doctors are all like calling all doctors. And some guy goes like, I have a doctorate in homeopathy. And the robot just goes, you have a doctorate in baloney, and shoots water at him. Just like shoots away.
That's really funny. I hope they shot a lot of water at him, so he's very diluted. He becomes a more powerful doctor.
Now the water remembers him. What happened with homeopathy again, I guess?
Someone in California, I believe, was selling these vials of, look like little sugar, like sugar pellets, like little cheap little white ball candy for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But those little sugar pellets apparently had COVID particles in them, and the goal was, yeah, and they were saying it's an all natural remedy. You put 2 to 4 under your tongue, and that's gonna give you a more permanent, you know, protection against COVID or something. I think they were arrested.
Yeah, that is. I mean,
there's a lot of things wrong here.
Like, were they deactivated? Because even then. Like,
no, just some COVID particles.
It said had COVID particles. What does that mean?
I think it's just...
Is this a scientist who says, I've isolated proteins from the COVID virus that will trigger your body's immune system, or COVID particles?
As of the time of the writing of the posting of that article, the analysis hasn't actually been done on it, but the guy wasn't very clear about what exactly they did to make this happen, but...
Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah, it's very bad. And about like 2,000 to 4,000 people, I'm forgetting the exact number, actually bought this stuff.
2,000 people? Oh my.
Yeah.
In California?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I think the guy made over like $200,000 off this or whatever.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Just get a vaccine.
Right?
It's not that hard.
Ugh. My God.
The only fake science I think I really like is that in like science fiction and fantasy, like, but it's got to stop there because the key component of it is that it's fake.
Yeah. And I love sci-fi that like takes real life concepts to like actual levels of believe, like basically says, okay, Here's an insane thing. What if the sun was in the middle of the earth, but every other physics was the same? Like, how would that work? Right? Like,
sure.
Those are fun. Although usually they're very plotless. They're usually just like examining shit. Or like iRobot, right? Which is effectively detective stories. If you've ever actually read the book, it's just like a bunch of detective stories. It's kind of rad.
I've got like 3 bookshelves in my place right now, and the one closest to me does not have it on it.
Brag.
I know, right? But yeah, and actually, it's really funny because, you know, speaking of like Isaac Asimov, it's like I've gone back to read some of his things, and where our technology has advanced so much since the time that he wrote it, some things seem a little weird now.
Like what?
We're not as far into the future as some of his stories are, but yet we have things like smartphones that he couldn't have like conceived that we'd be able to have all this information available to us at all times, just in our pockets like that.
Yeah.
Cause I think I read like Nemesis recently.
I never read that
year.
One. I've really only read iRobot, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. it was so iRobot was good. I did enjoy that. Nemesis, I think, had a couple instances of that. There's no way he could have seen certain technology coming. Mm-hmm. But there was some cool, like, faster than light travel stuff they talked about, which I thought was neat. The Foundation series, I think I just recently read. I didn't read it personally, but
Foundation,
I read the review about it.
Foundation is Isaac Asimov? I thought that was a different person.
Yeah, pretty sure it's Asimov. I can take a quick look.
What am I thinking of?
Foundation series, book series, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Asimov.
I don't know why I thought that was a different... What am I thinking? I think I'm thinking of a different person. I think I'm thinking of... now I'm going to have to edit this shit. Because I'm like searching. I was thinking of Neal Stephenson, who I think did...
Oh.
Not...
He's got...
He did like a different thing.
Yes, you're thinking Snow Crash?
The Diamond Age. Whatever the cycle of the Diamond Age is called.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so that's Stevenson. I think he did Diamond Age, he did Snow Crash. I read the Cryptonomicon as well.
Oh, yeah. I haven't read as much Asimov as I have Stevenson. And Stevenson's all right. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
I feel like he's maybe a little proud in his writing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
But at the same time, I kind of like what he does. So there's like this delicate balance.
Yeah.
I felt it a lot more in Snow Crash than I did in Cryptonomicon, though, where that was kind of a cool story to read because it takes place in like two or three different points in time at the same time.
Yeah. And it also, there's so much of it that influenced like a lot of the wording and like Avatar, right? That preceded the usage of that in modern times, which is bananas to think about.
Sure.
And it reading it and then watching like Westworld, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, bicameral shit, I get it.
Right.
But it's just really cool. I've always really liked that. But like, this brings me to the thing that I prefaced before we got on this. I was like, I have a thing I just had a big discussion about, and it's been like,
yeah, I actually
burning
really
in my
know
brain.
What you're talking about. You didn't even give me a clue what it was about.
No.
So,
and I guess this goes with books as well, but it also goes with, we were talking about movies, but like,
sure.
Cause, and I want to preface this where I'm pretty sure there is no correct answer and there is no good, like single answer.
I like this kind of thing already.
What makes a good movie? Right? There is no correct answer and every person's going to give a different answer. But like, I was thinking of like, I was thinking of what makes a good movie. And I remember watching Mother exclamation point, the Darren Aronofsky movie, and watching it and being like, this is a good movie and I fucking hate it. Like, I feel this is oppressive and it hurts to watch.
Sure.
But I know this is objectively a good movie.
Okay.
But I also fucking hate it. And like I thought the same thing with like The Antichrist, right?
Okay. Which I don't think I've seen either of these.
The Antichrist I don't think is actually Aronofsky. But it is the Antichrist is insane. It is a brutal, hard to watch film. Oh, it's Lars von Trier. Never mind. He was even worse. who wrote like, who did Melancholia, which is a great but hard to watch movie, and Nymphomaniac, which is an even harder to watch movie.
Okay.
But Antichrist is like 2009. Willem Dafoe's in it.
Okay.
If you've ever seen that meme of a fox going, chaos reigns. That's what that's from.
Okay. So, I don't know if you know this about me, but I am very uncultured in the way of watching movies and shows.
No, it's all right.
I'm aware of a lot of things, but I don't know. I even like movies, but like, you know, talk to my girlfriend and stuff about this stuff. It's like you can list off movies. I'm like, no, I don't know that one.
Yeah, I don't know
that one. I think I've seen half an hour of that one. Don't know that one.
Yeah. I mean, And like, we'll get back to my original point, but like Meg does this shit to me all the time where she'll be like, oh my God, I can't wait to see this movie. It has, and then extensive list of everyone in this movie. And I'm like, who are they? I don't know who they are. I'm like, oh, yeah. They're in this movie that you haven't seen. I'm like, I don't know what movie that is. I was like, oh my God, it's like this movie you also haven't seen. And I'm like,
sure. Ah.
It's like, I'm so jealous of your pop culture knowledge.
I mean, look, it's really helpful. I can't remember celebrities for the life of me.
I can one never time, fucking remember anybody's name, especially celebrities, but not even people I know.
Sure.
Who are you?
It was really right. I introduced you, but it's all over. I remember one time, like after an improv show, I was trying to explain to people like how lacking my celebrity knowledge is that I told them, I can only remember three celebrities at any given time, and it's not always the same three. And one of them was President Obama at the time.
I don't know if he counts as a celebrity. I feel like celebrity means like I am in pop culture. I guess he's
well.
In pop
so
culture.
That's exactly what I mean, because someone else said the exact same thing, and I'm like, that's what I got. I don't know.
Fair. That's fair. Like notable people, notable figures in modern times. Okay, I got it. I got you.
Yeah, like if I saw him on the street, I'd recognize him.
But back to the point, like to you, because to me, I don't have a correct answer. What is a good movie? Like what makes a movie? Because there are movies that I've like watched and I'm like, this movie sucks and is bad and I'm having a great time. Like I enjoyed that experience. There are bad movies that I have more memorable experiences than art house movies that won awards. Like fucking Snakes on a Plane. I saw that in theaters 2 days before it was released as a special pre-release, and it was fucking awesome. That movie sucks ass, but it was so
absolutely
fun.
Like, I have it on DVD.
It's so bad. It's garbage, but it was so fun to be in a theater and like do the cult movie, like yell at the screen thing.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like even to this day, would you still get some friends together and like, you know, have some drinks or whatever and like rewatch it? Yeah, absolutely. You would, even though it's terrible.
But like what makes it what is a good movie to you? And the answer can be that depends. Like,
so there as with almost every single thing in the world, it depends is pretty much the answer. But I think I can give you a less of a non-answer than that, which is that
because
as with
I don't think I could give you a real answer, basically. I feel like I don't know if I could give you an answer.
Like I almost kind of wish I had like half an hour to like write it out to be a little bit more articulate about this. But I think what it really comes down to is what's true for what I'm willing to say, probably all art, which is that a good movie makes you feel a thing.
Okay.
And specifically the thing it was intending. But then again, not necessarily.
But then it's also like, is intent the thing, right? Like, because there's sort of the visual aspect and there's sort of the construction aspect and like it's the whole bullshit. Well, it's the whole bullshit art like argument of are video games art, right? But like
in the answer there is yes, but
but some of them aren't. I would agree.
I was gonna say, but with a little asterisk saying that, you know, I would say not all like movies are in general art. Not all movies are art, though, because some are just, you know, there's a certain amount of craftsmanship that has to go into it.
Yeah.
And movies and games alike in general, especially like the big studio stuff, there's so many different people working towards a common goal that, I mean, there's something to be said just about that. But I think in each subdivision of like labor and stuff that goes into it, there's artistry that goes into that. But I would say that A good movie makes you feel the thing that it wanted you to feel.
Okay.
But then also don't forget that where movies, like a lot of art, really, if not all art, are kind of like snapshots in time. Those goalposts are going to move in time. So like you could go back and watch like Casablanca and maybe you'd hate it.
Yeah.
Because our tastes are a little bit different than what happened back then. Was it a good movie? Yes. Is it still? I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I mean,
but you know what I'm saying? Cause there's a little bit of like the objective reality of it, but also just like the culture that has shifted around it.
Sure, sure, sure. And I think like, I like that. I like the answer of it. It's making you feel the way it intends. Yeah. And I would say, like, maybe there's some sort of, you know, artistry in terms of like cinematography and composition and like that sort of visual audio, blah, blah, blah stuff. But like, I think a lot of that is, yeah, to evoke a certain feeling. And a good movie, when it comes to like a fucking popcorn crunching, Marvel punching bad guys movie, yeah, is trying to make you feel happy. Like, it's trying to make you feel like you're having a good time.
Absolutely.
Right? And like, the reason so many people really liked Endgame, even though it's a Marvel movie, is because it did exactly what it intended. It smushed an increasingly bigger and bigger scope together into something that made you feel something by the end. Right. And didn't sell out its intent in the end either.
Yeah.
So I think that is the simplest answer to a complicated question that I can agree. Cause yeah, I think that still like appeals to those movies that I saw that I'm like, this is a good movie and I fucking hate it.
Sure. Well, so but then there's some weird movies out there and we all know them. Like The Room, for example, that like kind of flipped the script a bit, which is like so bad it's good. Does that make it a good movie? Well, it kind of defied the intent that, you know, that he was going for, I'm sure. But sure, at the same time, like, it is loved by a lot of people. So is this a different category of good?
And that's where it kind of breaks down, right?
Right.
Because it's almost like it's sort of like finding art in, it's sort of the same idea of like creating art versus finding art, right? And like the intent is, and that's where it becomes sort of like ineffable and like hard to describe. And like, you don't know what beauty is and what like things are, because like that movie is beautiful in terms of how fucking funny it is. It's so funny. Yeah, absolutely. Everything that it's supposed to do, it doesn't. It like does everything wrong and it's still funny. And I've watched it again. I've watched clips of it, I should say. I haven't watched it since I saw it in college. But like, there are things that are still so bewildering that I just don't understand how did this get funded?
Well, so it's really funny. Have you seen The Disaster Artist?
I did, and I really liked it. I thought The Disaster Artist was a very good movie. I like, it was a good movie about the making of a very bad movie.
Yeah, and like, as with all things, like, I don't think we'll ever know the full story behind what really happened there.
It was implied
there
that he's laundering money. I know.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the only way that got made.
Oh, my God. Well, because he had some amount of money that nobody understands why. And like, it's never been fully explained why he has that money and so on and so forth. But like, you know, God bless him, this guy, for making this dumb fucking piece of art by accident. Because that's the other thing. So I think sometimes things can be art. That's where like the intent thing breaks down for me, because sometimes things can be artful by accident.
Sure.
Like a lot of comedy, right? A lot of funny things in the world are funny unintentionally.
Well, it's funny you say that, because you know, because I've been thinking a lot about like improv lately, and honestly, my favorite moments in improv, like more than like just about any other comedy that I can think of, are the unexpected things that even the person doing the thing didn't realize was happening until it happened.
Yeah, the moment of discovery. That's the whole reason improv works, is because everyone's like, a good improv scene is like being discovered, right?
Yeah. Which is honestly why I end up liking improv like orders of magnitude more than sketch, even though on some level they're very similar.
Yeah.
Just because like, I just like that we don't know what's going to happen here. Mm-hmm. And then if you're lucky, you know, you just kind of see magic happen right in front of you.
Yeah. And that can also lead to like high highs and low lows. Right.
Right.
There can be that's kind of the gamble with improv, and why I think a lot of people give it some credit because it's sort of people give it the magic trick bias where they're like, there's no way they're going to trick me. They did it. Yay. I wanted to be tricked and they succeeded.
Right.
And that's why it's somewhat more impressive. Although if you watch enough improv, you see some patterns.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
In yourself, too. Right.
Oh, totally.
I
think as I went on, like even myself, like I'm no like gifted improviser or performer.
I was like,
in general.
Oh, it's the team that does the dicks things again. All right. I guess they're the they're the fan favorites, though. So I guess we'll it's fine. Whatever. Let's just let them do whatever, I guess.
Sure.
That's not subtweeting a specific group of people.
I was even thinking of a particular college team that we'd see from time to time that I'm so glad they lost. Anyway.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I don't want to mention names here, but
God bless.
Yeah. But hey, look, you got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's why
they were still young. So it's fine.
And that's like also like sports as an artistry as well, right? Like it's a muscle. You're very good at doing something very well.
I'm actually so happy you said that, but you can finish.
That was all I really wanted to say.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I was going to say like, I had the beginning of this thought a long time ago and I think you just solidified it for me now, but like, I've never been a big sports guy, which is funny cause we're reviewing Olympics Oreos right now.
I know, but we're transitioning. I was trying to find a transition.
I think we found it, but I would say the thing that really like ties it all together for me is that next time I ever like go to see sports, I'll remind myself that I'm just watching an improv show.
Sure. All right.
It's not a comedy necessarily, but you know, I don't think anyone had
because there's rules and there's supposed to be stuff that they're doing. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah. There's structure to it. Like, it's just, you know, yeah, it's like the Herald.
Yeah. Right. Anyways, on that sports note, Nick, we got to review these. We only got, I guess, 10 minutes, but we can go long. Who cares?
Okay.
Maybe we don't have 10 minutes. You know what? We don't ever. It's never a consistent timing. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
We're going over into overtime because it's sports
with
time.
The Olympic Oreos.
So as before, they've got some patriotic and Olympic imagery on these Oreos.
Yeah.
You've got your red, white, and blue layers of cream in the middle, which don't taste like anything. They're just very much those colors.
Yep.
And this time around, they've got a light sprinkling of popping candy in there.
Yes.
And
I want to say that it felt like it was less popping candy than before.
I think you're right. Yeah. And by before, you might be thinking of the Trolls Oreos, which you found
unacceptable.
Disgracefully. Yeah. Completely offensive.
I think I gave those like an F or a D.
Yeah. You were ready to.
And I think they ended up in D. I think they did end up in D.
Yeah, I think they did, and you know, that's one of the ones that I'm always going to fight for because somewhere deep in my heart, I want those poor things to you know what? They were part of the negotiations, and I got them up to a C to get peanut butter pie into an A.
Ugh. Unacceptable.
This is democracy at work.
Listen, I will say this about Olympic Oreos. I found there to be too much stuff.
There's a lot of stuff.
Way too much stuff. It's a triple stuff Oreo, which I think is good, but not great. It's worse than a double stuff, but it is basically triple stuff or mega stuff, whatever. I will also say that I liked that it was less Pop Rocks, and I did eat them pretty well. I feel like I'm in a...
You ate them pretty well. Good job. You ate all your food.
Thank you. I'm in a soft C territory.
Okay.
Maybe D. But I don't think... If we are giving the Trolls Oreos a C, they are not worse than the Trolls Oreos.
Okay.
That's my hottest of take.
So your Olympic torch hot take.
Yes.
I for historical purposes, I should note that the original Olympic Oreos, these were the ones without the Pop Rocks, ranked at about a C. Or they ranked at a C.
The ones without the Pop Rocks? And those were also triple stuff, right?
Yes. Yes. Same idea. No Pop Rocks that time.
I don't think the Pop Rocks made them better.
I can see that. I didn't find them that offensive, but like at the same time, if offered them or a regular double stuff Oreo, I'd still go double stuff Oreo.
Yeah, me too. So I feel like they're a C. They're not offensive. They're just kind of like,
no.
All right. Oh, Pop Rocks. Whereas like the Trolls ones were like, they made your tongue fluorescent green, which I already hated, but like that's not a taste. But then the Pop Rocks were like intense. They were like so much.
The earthquake monitors nearby could like sense the Pop Rocks going off in your mouth.
There was a lot of it. And I feel like these can't be worse than them, but they aren't a B.
Okay.
Full stop.
I can, so, you know, honestly, like if this was something that you were in love with enough to put it in like a B, I would be like, all right.
No.
But I'm comfortable. I've had a change of heart, Nick. I want Pop Rocks in all my Oreos from now on.
No, God, no.
I know.
Never.
I'm excited. Yeah, we got to get that in writing somewhere. No, I'm comfortable with a C with
yeah,
these.
Yeah, I feel like C is fine. They're not an F in that you need to have them and be like, holy shit, this is the worst. They're C's. They're just kind of like, all right, there's a little Pop Rocks in there. There's a little sprinkling. That's really it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little sizzle of Pop Rocks.
A little sizzle reel in there.
Yeah.
To light your Olympic torch when you eat all of the Oreos. But yeah, I don't know. They're fine.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like, they're fine.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, then that's an episode, I believe.
Yeah.
Right?
It felt good.
You know, I feel like we came to consensus pretty quickly on those Olympic Oreos. I expected a bit of a fight. I expected you to be like, these are A territory because you're a weird.
Oh, really?
Well, not really, but I just expected you to come in with a troll answer.
Oh, I see what you did there.
But also unironically. So,
well, you know, I was debating on how badly I really wanted to play up the whole like America, and you know, like give him an A for America, and like just this morning on my way out the door when I had said that I was going to be reviewing these late, you know, today, I was like, yeah, I'm going to give him an A for America. I wake up for every morning and have like hot dogs and apple pie for breakfast.
Apple pie for America breakfast. Yeah. What is your go-to breakfast, Nick, before we go? What's your like, I wake up in the morning and I'm not like the most awake, but I'm not the most sleepy, you know, not you're like, and I'm not late either. Like I got a regular amount of time to go. What's your breakfast? What's your breakfast of choice? Like a general breakfast, not like, oh, my favorite breakfast is like making a breakfast hash and like going all out.
Yeah. If I'm not like if I'm not cooking something, and if I were, it would be like eggs, but, and that, like, that's it. Like, I don't need to have a big breakfast. So usually in the morning, but I need something or I feel gross. Like 99% of the time it is, I have like a granola cereal. It's like the Kind granola cereal. I just pour some milk in that and I'm like, that's breakfast.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Just something light, just something to get me to lunch.
Yeah.
Cause usually I'll drink coffee in the meantime and whatever. Cats are going crazy.
Yeah, we just, I wonder if that was picked up on the audio, but my cat was trying to climb up the wrong way of the scratching post.
For what it's worth, I could hear it.
Okay. Well, it was very funny because he just couldn't figure out how to climb. Mine has recently been, we've been doing a lot of oatmeal. I feel like toast with anything spread on it is usually my go-to. Like,
Sure. I like some good toast.
Toast it up, put hummus on it. Hummus was like, toast and hummus is like go-to breakfast for like my life. Or like, but like avocado toast. That's why I can't afford a house. or just like, you know, toast and butter. If I have time, toast, put an egg on it. maybe like bouge it up with something else, but
sure.
Just like toast. Toast is like my go-to. That's like my breakfast.
Toast is good. Yeah.
I want to get into like the whole egg and rice breakfast because that's delicious. I love a good egg plus rice is like the best thing in the world. But
yeah, I get that. I want to get like some like real bibimbap again. Ugh,
so good. So good.
I have those stone bowls.
You do? Let's do stone bowl. How many do you have?
Two.
Okay. Well, we'll get our significant others to do something else, and we'll make stone bowl bibimbap.
Yeah. You know, we'll bake it.
We'll put some crispy rice in there. It's gonna be great.
Yeah. So like we'll talk about this off air, but like in the instructions, it says you can just do it on your stovetop, but I only have a glass stovetop because that's how my thing is.
Oh, you don't have like a flame.
No. So yeah. I don't really want to put that on glass. I'm afraid it's going to like melt it or whatever.
I wouldn't recommend
melt the glass, not melt the stone.
I would. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend that
because I don't have a volcano.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend that in general. Unless you put it on like a conductive, like something metal underneath and then put that on it. Is it induction?
No, I don't. No, it's not.
Still, I would still do
it's that.
That
weird glass.
I would do
top.
Or just put it in your oven. And the oven's probably easier. Although I don't know how you'd handle it either way. So you still need like trivets and shit.
go to my bibimbap kiln.
Gotta get my tongs. All right, everybody. This has been an episode. My name. I'm just gonna abruptly end it. Are you cool with that?
Do it.
My name's been Rob.
My name's been Nick.
Go dunk yourself. You fucking idiots. You babies.
We love you.
We love you. Thank you so much for listening. I feel like I was in a fugue state today. Just like I had a lot to ramble about. So.
No, it's good.
And I like that. I get that to do that sometimes. So.
It's some good hashtag content.
Hashtag content. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Waving to nobody.
Thank you for listening to Good Stuff with Rob and Nick. Good Stuff is produced by Rob Mulligan and promotional artwork by Nick Pattens. Good Stuff's theme is composed by Kenny Gray of Mess and Finesse. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Good Stuff Podcast. See you next week.